This week on the podcast, health savings account opportunities and moves to contemplate before April the 15th. All that and more here on Your Money and Your Life with Don Cash.
CPA and CFP Don Cash has made it his life's work to help people like you plan their finances and achieve their retirement goals. It's time for Your Money and Your Life.
Hey everybody, welcome into the podcast. Time for Don and I to talk once again about investing, finance, and retirement, and health savings account opportunities and moves before April the 15th is on the docket this week. We're dropping this podcast, I believe, on the 28th, somewhere right around there, the end of March. So you got a couple weeks left, and we're going to get into that good conversation with Don. As always, if you need help, please reach out to him. He is a qualified professional, a CPA and a CFP at Donald W. Cash and Cash and Associates. Say that three times fast. And you can find him online at donaldcash.com. That's donaldcash.com. Don, my friend, spring has sprung, my friend, and we are in the middle of college basketball madness. How you doing, Don?
Doing good. Actually, it's a little cold here again. You know, I don't know what's happening with spring. Spring sprung, but it's kind of sprung back in the box here.
Yeah, right.
In New Jersey, it's kind of chilly. But getting back to the March Madness with the basketball season, I was speaking to someone from North Carolina a few days ago. It was a big UNC, University of North Carolina fan.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing a small school in our area on the first round called Wagner College.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's in Staten Island, New York, and it's only got an enrollment of 1,900 students, Mark. Believe that? It's like, compared to UNC, which is like 20,000 or more, I think.
Yeah, it's a pretty big school, for sure.
But Wagner only had, get this, 7 healthy players.
Yeah, I think my brother watched that game. I think it was a slaughter, if I'm not mistaken.
It was not close. It was 90-62, but hey, the kids gave it a good effort, right?
Yeah, that's all you can do, right? Exactly. So yeah, sometimes that happens in the brackets, you know. But hey, if they would have beat them, it would have really busted a bunch of people's, you know, brackets. So you just never know what's going to happen there.
Well, they call it the Cinderella story sometimes, but this seems like a lot of favorites in there this year. Not a lot of like low ranked teams, I noticed. So,
yeah.
It looks like it's going to be one of the big schools, the favorites that are going to
the powerhouse. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Power. That's what I'm looking for. But it's interesting. So many kids today are like into these video game sports, but nothing beats the drama and excitement and I guess the heartache of live sports as well. But speaking of video games and fake stuff, Mark, my son-in-law and daughter a couple of days ago did a little artificial intelligence experiment this weekend.
Really? Okay. What? Do tell, please.
All right. So here's what we talked about. We were, you know, going through all these things that AI can do with graphics and music and things like that. And they asked the chat box in the program to create a new theme song for our show, Your Money and Your Life.
Oh, no.
So it's pretty amazing. In about 3 minutes, it created like a bunch of versions of a song. Like, you know, you could have a soft rock version, a hard rock version. They even made like a yacht rock version of the intro.
Oh, geez.
This song. So maybe we could test it with the audience next time and see what they think.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. As a musician, I have to take offense to it because AI putting everything out of work is pretty annoying. So I'll defer to you on that response since it's your show. But yeah, it's wild what the AI can do. That is sure. It's kind of scary, too. There's a lot of, you know, pretty crazy things out there. We've talked about some of that stuff in the past, too, with different scams using AI and whatnot. So lots of wild stuff. But, you know, Don, over the past few shows, we've been talking about tax moves to consider before April 15th. I want to continue that this week on the show. We went over some traditional and Roth IRAs, spousal IRAs, charitable moves, medical deductions, self-employment tax deductions. So we teed up a little bit that we were probably going to dive further into health savings accounts. So let's do that. What can you tell us here?
Yeah, that's it's something that's coming up more and more, these health savings accounts, Mark. And let's start with the basics, right, with the health savings accounts.
So yeah.
Here's definition. Health savings account, commonly called HSA, right? That's what you hear them talked about. It's a type of a savings account that lets you set aside money on a pre-tax basis, kind of like what you do with an IRA or 401k.
Mm-hmm.
to pay for qualified medical expenses. So by using these pre-tax dollars or untaxed dollars in the case of an HSA to pay for deductibles, co-payments, you know, co-insurance and some other expenses, you can lower your out-of-pocket healthcare costs, right? So that's the idea. And the big idea really kind of started about 20 years ago or so when there was an explosion in healthcare costs. And the thinking is if the government created tax incentives and allowed people to have what is thought as a kind of a catastrophic coverage plan, they can manage more of their own cost and lower the overall cost of medical care, which is something like, you know, 18% of the GDP in the country. It's a huge percentage.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense in theory. I don't know how well it translates 20 years later, but for now, let's break it down. So there are two parts to the HSA, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So there's the HSA Health Savings Account Plan, and there's the HSA account. That's what people usually think about when they think of HSAs is the account. So well, you can use the funds in the HSA account at any time to pay for qualified medical expenses like dental and out-of-pocket medical expenses, you know, you can also, you may contribute to an HSA only if you have what's called an HSA eligible plan. And sometimes it's called a high deductible health insurance plan. So it's generally a health plan that only covers like preventative services before the deductible. And here's a benefit that's often overlooked with the HSA account, right? The account money can be invested really like any IRA and earn a rate of return, which is not taxable.
Okay. Very interesting for sure. So these two parts, do us a favor, break these down a little bit. Give us some practical examples of how they work.
Okay, so let's say you have an HSA-eligible health plan at work.
Right.
And you pay a premium of, let's say, $500 a month, right? That covers you, your spouse, and the family. You know, these plans are called the high-deductible plan because you often pay a lower premium. But the downside is you need to cover more of the out-of-pocket health cost yourself compared to a typical health insurance plan.
Okay.
Right? So that's the part one, the HSA-eligible medical plan. The part two is the HSA savings account, the health savings account itself. And that's the cool part. So you get to put money into an account that you can use for these eligible medical expenses and withdraw the money in the account tax-free, right? So the money is going in with a tax deduction and the money's coming out tax-free. So most people have, you know, some kind of debit card also they get along with this plan when they open up the plan to pay for their expenses. So when it comes down to the point where, let's say, you have to go and pay a bill, you can either write a check or use a debit card to pay for the out-of-pocket part of the expense.
Yeah, and many people may have heard people say stuff like HSAs are like Roths on steroids because of there's multiple, you know, benefits to what you were just describing there when it comes to the tax-free side of things, withdrawing the money back out. So what's the difference between paying the expenses out of the HSA account versus, you know, just your standard account, savings account, or something like that?
You're kind of stealing my thunder.
Oh, I am so sorry.
The Roth on steroids. Well, I love that.
Because you taught me so well, right? So there you go.
So we'll get to the Roth on steroids.
Okay.
The triple tax benefit, sometimes it's referred to.
Yes.
But you know, getting back to the differences of, you know, paying out of pocket versus the account. That's where, you know, a lot of the benefit is, right? So the money you put into the HSA account, that gives you the tax deduction. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the money that comes out of the account to pay for the qualified expenses are not taxable.
Right. Okay. So again, the Roth, right, kind of steroids. So it's that combination idea of the IRA where you get that tax deduction and then the Roth IRA where the money comes back out tax-free, which makes it very appealing.
Absolutely. So it's even better, right, than the Roth IRA because the Roth IRA, there's no tax benefit up front.
Right.
But then when he comes out tax-free, this is sort of the best of both worlds.
For sure. So how does the tax deduction side work?
So for, you know, for the example I gave before, right? So let's say the married couple I mentioned earlier, they can contribute up to, this is for 2023 now, it goes up every year, the amount.
Right.
$7,750 to an HSA account with an additional $1,000 if they're over age 55.
Okay.
Right. So that extra $1,000 is what they call the catch-up contribution.
You know, why couldn't they have made this 50 like the normal catch-up contributions for IRAs and stuff like that, and Roth IRA? Like, it would have made things simple, but no, they had to make it a different number, so it's one more number we got to keep track of.
You know what? That's a great point. Some people get tripped up and confused by that age, yeah, because the catch-up contribution for the other account is 50.
Yeah.
Now it's age 55, so if you... You know, you kind of have in your head, oh, catch up at 50 and you make that extra contribution, not eligible.
Yep.
So, but 55 is the number.
Okay.
So here's where it even gets better. Unlike the IRA contribution rules that have an income limit, right? You can't have a deductible IRA if your income is too high.
Okay.
There's no income limit for the tax deduction on a contribution to an HSA savings account. So it's very appealing for a high income earner.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't have that point where you're not eligible if your income is over a certain amount. And again, I mentioned before, the money that comes out can be taken out completely tax-free. So there's that, you know, that term we use, the Roth on steroids,
yep,
or the triple tax benefit. You got the kind of the best of all worlds.
Yeah, it's sounding real sexy, Don. So as anything goes, what's the downside? Because it sounds really good.
All right, some more sexy tax planning here.
There you go, exactly.
So here's the downside, a few things to consider. So first, since they're, you know, fairly new, let's say over the past 20 years or so, and many employers only started offering them really in the past 10 to 15 years,
mm-hmm,
a lot of people who reach, let's say 60 or 65, they don't have a lot of money in them, right, compared to you know, younger people who can kind of bulk up on this. So I think it's important for, you know, for people out there listening, if they are, let's say, a little bit older, let's say over 60, they have an HSA, they have some money in it, and they're thinking, well, you know, I don't have a whole lot in here, but tell your kids and grandkids about them. It's a great savings vehicle for people in their prime earning years, right?
A little hot tip there. Tell the kids and grandkids, yeah.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of times it's very difficult to plow money into retirement plans if you're younger.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a great resource for people who are, let's say, in their 30s and 40s, and they have a lot of years. And younger people too, but I find the younger people may not have the money to do
it. True. Fair point. Yeah.
So a few more things. Since they're high deductible plans, right? Some downside to think about. They may be better for people in good health who don't really have a lot of medical bills, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's just something to consider. And you need to pay for the Part One, of course. That's the high deductible medical plan, as well as contribute to the Part Two, which is the health savings account itself. So a lot of people just, they don't have the money for both. Right. So you really need to have that extra money to save to make it worthwhile. So that's something really to consider. And there's also extra record keeping, potential tax penalties if you take the money out too early and you don't use it for eligible expenses. So, you know, that's also a potential downside.
Yeah, that's some good points there for sure, Don. Well, let's go over some more of the benefits and also some of those hidden planning opportunities that we kind of teased up in the intro.
Okay, so first the benefit, the tax deduction we mentioned before. So in the a couple of my example earlier, that's potentially an $8,750 deduction. That's pretty sweet, right?
Mm.
And even better, that deduction goes right on the front of the federal 1040 tax form before you get to this adjusted gross income line, right? So what's the benefit of that? So it can help eliminate like these extra stealth torpedo taxes that kind of come up, like the Medicare Part B IRMA surcharge.
Yeah.
And the net investment income surcharge. So the more you can get a deduction on the front of that 1040 page before you hit that adjusted gross income line, the more you can do that, the better in terms of tax planning.
Well, speaking of getting torpedoed in Medicare, how does the HSAs work for, you know, those folks over 65 on Medicare?
Yeah, that can get a little tricky, right? It's a great question. So here's the answer. You can still have the HSA and contribute to an HSA account if you're over 65 and if you still work and you're not yet enrolled in Medicare Part B. However, if you're over 65, retired, and on Medicare Part A and B, you can't contribute any longer to an HSA.
Oh, okay.
Right? And you need to be careful not to contribute up to 6 months before enrolling in the Medicare Part B. So it gets very tricky. You have to really keep an eye on that when you're getting closer to being Medicare Part B eligible, that you're not putting money into that HSA account. It's a quirky rule.
Okay. Now, what happens to the money in that account, though, after 65?
That's a big question that comes up, right? So people, let's say they've been doing this for many, many years.
My wife and I have one, for example. So just use that.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're, let's say you're, you know, you're 45, 50, 55 years old. Mm-hmm. The money's in there. And now you can't put any more money in, right? So you're kind of locked out of adding to it. So the question people have is like, now what do I do?
Right.
What do I do with this HSA account? Because maybe you're on Medicare and you don't have as many out-of-pocket medical expenses, but still, it's a great planning tool. And here's how they can deal with that issue of being over 65 or Medicare eligible even after age 65. So let's take the example of someone, right, say who starts at 45, contributes for 20 years. You know, they could actually end up with a couple $100,000, Mark, in their account.
Yeah.
And that question is how to get the money out of that account tax-free, right?
Right.
So you have to keep in mind what counts as an eligible medical expenses, right? So you have this stuff that's intuitive, like your out-of-pocket medical expenses and dental bills, because there might still be some out-of-pocket medical expenses, even if you're on Medicare.
Sure.
And some dental bills, which is not covered, vision, which is often not covered, depending upon if you have an Advantage plan or a Medigap plan. But also the long-term care premiums, that's an eligible medical expense where you can take money out of the HSA and it can be tax-free.
Nice. Okay.
Also the Medicare Part B, C, and D premiums. But oddly, this is weird, Mark, not the Medicare supplement or Medigap plans. That's not eligible. I think that's just an error in there that should be corrected.
Yeah, interesting for sure. So if you have a lot of money in the HSA, can you accumulate these bills over the years and just pay, or do you just pay year to year?
Yeah, that's another great point. It's a question that comes up in terms of like how to get this money out of the account. So you can actually accumulate all of these medical bills that you've paid out of pocket yourself over the years, right?
Right.
So keep in mind, if you have long-term care insurance or Medicare, B, C, and D, and dental bills, you can easily be spending over $10,000 a year in these eligible expenses, right? But here's the point. You don't need to use the HSA money each year to pay for them. You can just let the money in the HSA account grow, right? Let it compound in growth. Then down the road, just withdraw a big chunk for something else, like maybe a trip or new car, gift to the family, something more fun, right? The money can come out tax-free. You just need to keep records of all those expenses that you've had over the years that are eligible expenses. So that's where the HSA is a great planning tool for tax diversification. Once you turn 65, you can kind of treat that HSA like a type of a retirement account, right? And once you're 65, your HSA is really treated kind of like that Roth IRA, right? For eligible expenses, there's no tax, no penalty. And after you're done with the contributions, it really can be looked at as a type of a Roth IRA.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty wild what you can do there. But again, you've got to keep the proper records and so on and so forth. And again, there's a lot of information here. So make sure you're talking with your financial professional about, if you have one of these, about how to go about using them properly. Any other things to keep in mind with these accounts, Don?
Yeah, a few things. I mean, they're available to people, of course, with a workplace medical plan. That's where the most popular, most common. But it's also available for self-employed people or people buying these health insurance plans in the so-called state marketplaces, right? People go in the so-called Obamacare sites, and they can be available there. So the savings part of the HSA can be invested with big investment companies like Schwab, Fidelity, Vanguard, in addition to banks and credit unions. But a lot of people I find, they just have their HSA in a non-interest-bearing bank account or something that was hooked up from their prior employer. right? And it's kind of like dead money because it's sitting there not earning anything. So you can look at this and look for some area where you can invest that money, you know, much like you would invest the IRA or Roth IRA, although there's more limitations.
Right.
And just have more growth, right? So if someone has, you know, something invested at a 7% return, it's going to double about every 10 years, right? So if there's $100,000 in that HSA and it grows 7%, it's $200,000 in 10 years. Then it's $400,000. Then it's $800,000.
So right, you can see where that's going. Yeah,
it really adds up. So you can invest the money, you know, very similarly as the IRA. But here's a huge point to consider that often people don't look hard at. Unlike the Roth IRA, where you can leave the money to a beneficiary, right, tax free.
Mm-hmm.
The money in the HSA account needs to be depleted by the end of your life or your spouse. So any money that's left to the kids, for example, it's going to be taxed to them in the year you pass away.
Ah, so definitely something where you're keeping this within your own self and your immediate loved one, your spouse.
That's okay. Exactly right. Okay. So you need to empty that out, right, you know, at some point. And that's why it's really important to keep good records. So, you know, we only hit on some of the basics here on the planning opportunities with the HSAs. There's a lot more rules and regulations, and we can put up some links to the show on that. But just remember, you still have April 15th to make a contribution, and you know that we can put on the links to some of the more details of this. But we just kind of hit on the high notes and some of the planning opportunities.
Yeah, no, as always, like with anything, right? There's a lot of nuance to stuff, especially something more intricate and complicated like an HSA. So if you've got those questions, you need some help. Again, we'll put some links into the show notes for this week. But make sure you're reaching out to Don. Have those qualified conversations with a qualified professional like Don, who is a CPA and a CFP. 800-664-1183 is a number to call, 800-664-1183, or visit him online at donaldcash.com. That's donaldcash.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, Your Money and Your Life, on whatever platform you like using. We're on all the biggies, Apple, Spotify, YouTube platforms. You can find it simply by just typing Your Money and Your Life in the search box of whatever app you'd like to use. We have a dedicated podcast page, which is doncashpodcast.com. And we can have the links to all that in the description as for the show notes as well. So you can just click right on that and make it easy. Don, as we move past April 15th and plan for 2024, I know there's a lot of things we're going to be talking about in the upcoming months. So always looking forward to something new with you.
Thanks, Mark. And I think I'm changing my mind on the AI theme show. Since you're a musician, I want to respect your artistic integrity.
I certainly appreciate that. Musicians everywhere appreciate that. Artists as well, right? You see all these, you know, AI rendered art drawings and stuff. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, it's awesome that computers can do this. But we like to say they can beep boop out whatever you want. But it doesn't have the soul if you have an actual human do it. So there
Good
you go.
Point.
Good point indeed. Good conversation as always with Don. Folks, if you need that help, again, reach out to him, please. Before you take any action, talk with a qualified professional. And again, find him at donaldcash.com. We'll see you next time here on Your Money and Your Life.
Investment advisory services offered through Donald W. Cash & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of New Jersey.